Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the wonderful picture that Isaiah gave us of what it means when the whole earth will be so full of the knowledge of God, as full as the waters that cover the seas, that your Spirit will rest on your people and that the world will be transformed as we are transformed. Lord, we thank you that in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, we get our marching orders. We get what you expect of us, that we would be chip off the old block, that we would be like you, that we would want to be more like you. And today, last week we looked at what it means to that you are just and therefore we are to do justice. And today we look at what it means to love mercy, to love steadfast love, to love kindness, to love chesed. And so, Lord, we pray that today as we leave here, we recognize the call that we have to be people who love your infinite mercy, who love the grace that we have freely been given, who love the wonderful and amazing and awesome and truly unfathomable love that you have for us, so that we would love others and reflect this love into the world. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we're into the second Sunday in Advent. We just celebrated New Year's last week, for the church. And we talked about what is it that God wants us to do in this next year of the church. And he gave me Micah 6, verse 8 as our, for lack of a better term, our marching orders for next year. And I wanted to talk about the three things that it says the Lord requires of us. Again, we understand that we can't do it on our own. This is what he requires of us as people who are justified by grace through faith, who have received our salvation by grace, and now are living out our faith as we call covenant people. The Father has given us our identity, and we therefore are obedient because of who we are. It's very important, because every time I see, you know, I go to places where Micah 6:8, there's actually a church, an historic church, a church that has been around for years. As a matter of fact, it used to be a Lutheran church. It got bought up by another church because it's downtown and people don't tend to go from the suburbs downtown, and so it was bought up by another church. But they kept Micah 6 verse 8 on the wall. And this church, this was the marching orders for the church. This is a church that came over that was mostly made up of Germans, and they put that up as their mission statement. What does the Lord require of us? That we should do justice or act justly. I think it says in the older version. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. That's what they had as their marching orders. It was engraved. And so the new church didn't have a choice unless they wanted to put something up over top of it. It was there. And I think for years, we look at that, and the concern we have, and I'll have to admit this, as Lutheran pastors, is it sounds legalistic. Doesn't it? This is what the Lord requires of us. Right? He has made known to us what he requires of us. Doesn't that sound legalistic? Well, it's not legalistic. Again, if we understand the covenant, if we understand that the Father gives us our identity and out of our identity flows this obedience, it's not legalistic. It's simply marching orders. How many of you like instructions? No? Some of you? Yeah, some of you like instructions, especially if you're lost, right? At least we're supposed to. I don't know. My wife says I'm kind of bad at that. But anyways, I like to find my own way out. There you go. Okay. Well, yeah. Giving instructions. There you go. I kind of like getting lost and then finding my way out. But there are times when instructions are good, right? Yeah. I still have a few books called This for Dummies or whatever, because, you know, every once in a while, that's kind of the default position, but I like to try to figure it out myself first, usually make a bigger mess of things. But today, if you've been reading through the Celebrate, our Advent devotion, last week was Be Ready, and if you read yesterday, if you had a chance with all the things going on, if you had a chance to read yesterday, it was really good because it ended the Be Ready and it started on Be Fruitful. That's the next week. So It should say be fruit, not, or be fruitful, not be fruit. Spell checkers don't clear up incompetency. You notice that? So don't just be fruit, be fruitful, okay? That's always the risk involved when you're doing this. So Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness. And if you see that little B there, it means if you look in your Bibles, it's going to say at the bottom probably steadfast love. It may say mercy. It may say that we don't understand the word, and so we're trying to find an English word that fits, and we can't. And to walk humbly with your God. That's why this word that we're going to learn today is a word that to Hebrew people, they understand it. As a matter of fact, if you're a Messianic Jew, and Jordan's family probably understands this, chesed is extremely important because it makes up the whole ethics and morals of the Hebrew people. I mean, for a Hebrew person, chesed, love, this word is something that they don't really try to explain. As a matter of fact, they've tried over the years, and every time it kind of defaults to, well, this is just God's love, right? It's something that we don't understand, and yet we as English and before us as Germans, because if you have, anybody have a copy of Luther's Bible? No? I do. You do? Okay. A few of us do, because we grew up, you know, and it's been passed down. And Luther's Bible is really, really interesting because he didn't know how to explain this, so he just kept putting grace in there. That was his default, right? So whenever he got to this word, he just put grace. Because grace is simply undeserved mercy, and so he didn't understand it. So here's a quote. Chesed. Biblical scholars have often complained that the word chesed in the Hebrew Bible is difficult to translate in English because it really has no precise equivalent in our language. English versions usually try to represent it with such words as loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, and sometimes loyalty. But the full meaning of the word cannot be conveyed without an explanation. That's why I thought it was really appropriate when the Lord gave me this word that we were to look at Micah 6:8, which isn't in our readings, that it should happen that we, on the second Sunday, which we lit the candle representing what? Love today, that he would give us this word. And what's really impressive about this word chesed is that it's preceded by the word love. So the word ahaba, which means love, is the word that comes before chesed. So love plus mercy or loving kindness, love plus love, how can we fathom this? You understand what I'm saying? It says we're to love chesed. So we're to love, which we have enough trouble with, right? Wouldn't you say? When you come upon the word love in the Bible, isn't it hard to fathom? The love of God, we're to love the love of God. We're to love chesed. And when I looked at it, I'm going, well, how can we but fail miserably? How can we attempt this? I mean, it's so beyond understanding. Whenever you hear two things together, what do you know? It's really important, right? In the Hebrew language, where they don't have a whole lot of words, you have to understand the word from context. And when you see two things together like that, you know this is extremely important. So how do you love love? I mean, you could write a song, all you need is love, you know. Or you could try to explain it by what does love have to do with it, right? I mean, you could find all kinds of modern ways of trying to figure this out. It hasn't stopped. It's been part of our culture. We always try to figure out, what does this mean to love love? And that's why every translation is struggled with. I found this kind of an interesting, it says Yeshua, God saves. And no one has greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And then chesed. Chesed is loving kindness. That's kind of interesting. Matthew 3, verse 8, which we read for the gospel lesson, says, but when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So what bothered John the Baptist was these are the people who should have understood chesed. They should have loved chesed. loved mercy, loved the fact that God was a God of extreme grace. They should have remembered Isaiah 11 and realized that the Spirit of God wanted to rest upon them, that the Spirit of wisdom and counsel, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord wanted to rest upon them. They were the leaders. They were the people who had access to the Scriptures. They were the ones who should have known what was happening, and yet they followed the crowd. They just followed the crowd, and they wanted to look good, and so they were going to be baptized to look good. And what does he say? Don't bother. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. See, maybe I meant to say bear fruit instead of be fruit, but bear fruit in keeping with repentance. That's his words to the Sadducees and Pharisees. Isn't that his word to us too? Because can we not get religious and kind of hold on to the fact we're saved by grace and forget the next step, which is obedience? I can. I can stand there and say, I am saved by grace. I'm going to heaven. No question. But sometimes we can forget that we're called to be holy. And then Isaiah 11, verse 9, which Brian read, that I thought was really amazing. It ends with this, or just before the ending, it ends with this. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How much waters cover the sea? How much? How much waters cover the sea? A bunch. A lot. Pardon me? More than land. I mean, just imagine this. The knowledge of the Lord will be as plentiful, and the earth will be so full of the knowledge of the Lord that it will be greater than as the waters cover the sea. When they said that, when Isaiah said that, what was he trying to impress upon people? Are we going to be able to fathom it? Are we going to be able to truly understand it? Is it going to be so much bigger than us that it's going to blow our minds? No. As the waters cover the sea, can you really? Do you know if we've ever figured that out with all of our technology? I don't know. I'm asking that as a question because I haven't looked it up. Have we ever figured out how much water is in the seas? Can we do that? Do we know how deep the ocean is? I think we have a pretty good idea, but I don't think we'll ever be truly accurate. Maybe someday. But can you imagine how huge that is? How huge it is, and it's always changing. I found this picture, and I thought, this is how inconceivable it is, but to think about God's love is like recognizing that he has the whole world in his hands. When it says the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, it's like he's holding the world in his hands. Everything. It's totally beyond our ability to truly understand. Jesus said on Mandate Thursday, he gave that new command. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. But by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you, what? Have love for one another. This is to be our defining characteristic, right? As the Church of Jesus Christ, isn't this our defining characteristic? This is what he's telling his disciples on the night that he's betrayed. It says when he had gone out, that's talking about Judas. He's telling them, I'm going to be betrayed, but you are going to love as I have loved you, as Jesus sets the example for us. Chesed is covenant language. Steadfast love, loving kindness, covenant loyalty. I think St. Paul had the same problem as I have and as we have, as he was trying to explain chesed to a bunch of Gentiles. Now, if you grew up in a Hebrew home, you've heard the word chesed. You know what it means. You know it's part of your ethical makeup. It's who you are. It's that covenant language. But if you're going out to a bunch of Gentiles and you're trying to explain to them that they are to love chesed, and they're a bunch of Greeks, and they're trying to figure it out from a Greek perspective, he tries in several places, and in the first place that we often hear of is 1 Corinthians 13, he tries to explain this word. Really, is I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to explain, what does it mean to love chesed? What does it mean to love the mercy of God? What does it mean to love the steadfast love of God? What does it mean to be in awe of God's love? Well, he says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. And we've heard this at weddings, right? Seems like it's a favorite place. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away, and as for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, as even as I am fully known. And the reason I say this is about love, because isn't that exactly what we're talking about? When we look in a mirror, we see things dimly. When we look at love in a worldly context, we see it dimly. But we're challenged, we're invited to try to see things fully, to see and to be fully known as God. As we strive to know God, we are invited to know that we are fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. When we see the heart of God on the cross, and we see the love of God on the cross, we know that it's unfathomable. It's something that we will never fully understand. And yet, as St. Paul was trying to reach out to these Greek Gentiles, he was trying to explain to them what chesed means. And I think that if we could just get even a glimpse of what chesed means, we would better understand why we as at our church have a mission statement, which I tend not to talk about a lot, because I like those three words, because I like things short, and I like three words: belong, believe, become. That's my thing. But our mission statement is actually to know Christ and to make him known. And the reason when we talked about that early on, I mean, that's like 4 years ago, I talked about the fact that this was not knowledge in the Greek sense, but it was that yada of history, when Adam knew his wife, when God had an intimate relationship with his people, that yada knowledge, that's the intimacy, that we know Christ intimately, and we make that knowledge, that wonderful truth that we are known by God, that he has chosen us, that we are his people, we have his identity, we are children of the Father, that then we go out and we share that, and we reflect that in our lives. So what? Well, we know we fail when we just the command to love, right? Because in the English language, love is kind of akin to like. Well, I like you. I remember saying, you know, I kind of thought it was pretty cool when I was going through my rebellious time. I'd go to our family stuff, and I said, I know I have to love you, but I don't have to like you. Because, you know, in a lot of ways, we kind of use the word interchangeably. We say, oh, I love that coffee. And really, it's I like that coffee. Because love means more. And yet in the English language, because we've tried to understand this, we have failed miserably. So how can we ever, as simple humans, understand or do justice or love chesed? We cannot. As simple human beings, we're never going to be able to do it. Our love will be selfish. Our love will be self-serving. We'll love someone if they love us. Or we'll love someone if it benefits us, right? Isn't that the human nature that we have? We do what's best for us. That's the truth of human nature, the sinful Adam. But God sees Jesus in us. We are covenant people. We are kingdom people. The Father gives us our identity. Out of it flows our obedience. We belong to him, our up relationship. We belong to the Father. We believe what he teaches us and are in relationship, that we are his family. And we go out to become more like him and be obedient to him. Kingdom, we receive that wonderful authority from the King of Kings. And that's where we get the power to live. If you're following our devotion yesterday, the devotion said, why are we here? In our devotion from 2 Peter 3, verse 9, yesterday it said, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The reason we're here is because he still wants that chesed love to be out there in the world so that people would know that he has infinite mercy for them, that he has amazing love toward them. He loves us, and so we go forth and show his love, right? That's why we're here. God is not slow in keeping his promise, but he keeps us here so that more people may see his love and repent. That's why Christmas, right? I came to the play yesterday, and the first thing Don said at the matinee was that we're here because we want to celebrate the love that God has for us, that be born in that manger. By the way, you did an awesome job, Don. Did you write the whole thing? It was awesome. It was awesome. Thank you for the message. And everybody did well. And I know everybody looks exhausted because they did so well. But it was great. Because isn't that the truth of Christmas? The love of God to leave heaven, be born in that manger, to humble himself and become one of us. So, I love that video. Only because it is an attempt to define chesed. Isn't it? Using the Greek word agape, but really, isn't it? You see how difficult it is? That was 3 minutes and 10 seconds full of words. And yet it is unfathomable. And yet, brothers and sisters, we have it. Because Jesus showed it to us. He gave it to us. He said, you're going to love as I have loved. You're going to do greater things than I have done. He tells us that when his Spirit lives in us and moves through us and works through his gifts, that we will have this love. We will reflect this love. We will be people who, people will say they love one another. Look at them. They love one another, and they will try to figure it out. The unfathomable, the unmovable, the infinite, the mercy, the love, the steadfast love, the loyalty, all those things will be represented in the people of God because we are his children. I want to just close by sharing with you what it must have felt like for St. Paul, because as I was preparing for this, I said, will I ever do it justice? Will I ever help people to truly understand what it means to have this love? And then I thought, you know, it's interesting because in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and I think Joni shared that with the kids, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it talks about Christ's humility, right? What he was willing to do in emptying himself to become that sacrifice for us, the once for all sacrifice on the cross. But yet in chapter 3, St. Paul is trying to do what he did in 1 Corinthians 13, try to explain to a bunch of Gentiles about this love again. And all throughout Scripture, it's a never-ending battle for us to try to understand and love chesed, to understand and try to even get a glimpse or a part of it so that we can understand it and appreciate it so that we can be motivated out of love rather than in order to get love. We were motivated out of love. And so the New Testament tries to explain this love with agape. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, right? That's where we're rooted and grounded, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you see how frustrating it must have been for Paul? Can you understand how frustrating it was trying to explain to people who didn't grow up with chesed how important it is? How for us to truly understand love is to love the steadfast love of the Father, to love the infinite mercy that God gives us. For out of that love and that respect and that attempt to understand, we will then recognize when people hurt us, when people come against us, when people try to take our joy, we will say, no, we love because he first loved us. We love because we saw love. It was on the cross. And we know that God wants us to be full of his love. He says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a wonderful promise. That we would attempt each and every day to truly fathom that love and to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That's what we are here for. That's why we say love mercy. That's why we say love chesed. Because it's an ongoing, lifelong journey, isn't it? Will we ever fully get there? Will we be able to say, oh yeah, I understand it now? Kind of like when people say to me, you know, you need to know Jesus. You need to have a conversion experience. You need to know Jesus, make a decision right now. I'm like, no. No. Well, let me see. How much do you need to know? How much do you need to know? Well, if we're going to truly know Jesus, then it's like trying to fit the ocean into a cup, isn't it? Do we fail miserably? If we can't even understand chesed, his infinite mercy, how are we ever going to stand Jesus? Really? I would say, okay, I understand what you're saying, but really it comes down to this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So that's really as simple as it is. It's not a quantitative amount of faith, it's a qualitative. So, as we move forward this year, again, if you're doing the devotion, there's acts of piety, acts of mercy, great suggestions in there, that we love that undeserved and grace-filled love, that in agape love, we love chesed. I know it's complicated, I know it's beyond our understanding, but can we together agree that we are going to attempt this year to really continue to look at the passages that, I mean, I can give you a ton of passages where it says that we are to love, but could we just take the year to concentrate on Micah 6 verse 8, and when we get to love, kindness, love, steadfast love, love, mercy, whatever you decide to try to explain chesed, could you go to Ephesians 3 and just spend some time there and ask the Lord in prayer, can you help us to at least just sort of just get a glimpse of what it means, that breadth and length and width and depth of your love? Can we be full of this love so that we can go out and reflect it into the lives of people? Because isn't that what Christmas is about? Everybody's talking about it. And we have a chance to explain it. So may we be a people who love chesed. Amen.